Yeah, I'm just processing it as quickly as you are as it's coming
in. Yes, and so this would be the equivalent, I think, of Larry and Sergey being fired, or Larry being fired and Sergey quitting moments later. This is basically what we've witnessed. It's a $90 billion company. It's had tens of billions of dollars invested in it. It's first fastest company to 100 million users. And let's be honest, it's changed, it's rocked the entire industry. It's changed the entire technology landscape, and it's obviously changed the world. So then the question becomes, why? What happened and why?
This Week in Startups is brought to you by Vanta. Compliance and security shouldn't be a deal breaker for startups to win new business. Vanta makes it easy for companies to get a SOC 2 report fast. Twist listeners can get $1,000 off for a limited time at vanta.com/twist. Lemon.io. Get access to Lemon Hire, a platform with more than 80,000 pre-vetted engineers that you can interview within 48 hours. Get $2,000 off your first hire at lemon.io/hire today. And the Equinix Startup Program provides hybrid infrastructure solutions for startups, including up to $100,000 in credits and personalized consultations and guidance from the Equinix team. Go to equinixstartups.com to apply today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to an emergency podcast. This is an emergency breaking news podcast here on This Week in Startups. Sam Altman has apparently been fired from OpenAI. OpenAI released a statement this afternoon, and Sam quickly confirmed that with a tweet saying, "I loved my time at OpenAI. It was transformative for me personally and hopefully the world a little bit. Most of all, I love working with such talented people." We'll have more to say about what's next later. Minor disclaimer up top here. I know Sam socially, we're not besties or anything, but we were both Sequoia Scouts together, both Sequoia founders together, and we've got, you know, literally hundreds of contacts together. Yeah, I think he's obviously, I've watched him from his first startup, Sunny, through running Y Combinator, investing in a lot of great companies to this point. So this is kind of a shocking moment because we just had OpenAI's demo day. Sam was on stage. This has become a $90 billion company. This is, I think, one of the biggest news stories of the year. Would you agree, Sunny?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the biggest story in tech this year, for sure. And, you know, hugely impactful because we have a giant ecosystem of, you know, maybe 5,000 plus companies that are being built in and around AI, and many of which are building on OpenAI's platforms. And so this has pretty huge impact to a number of companies, depending on, you know, and we'll maybe talk about it here, but what happens with OpenAI going forward, and, you know, what's the next, you know, what are some of the next things? Because, you know, we just did this late breaking news. GDB, who was also one of the co-founders, Greg Brockman, just quit.
He was removed from the board.
Yes.
And so this is a very dynamic situation that we have to explain. There is a board of directors, and famously, Elon originally funded the company. He left the board. Reid Hoffman was on the board. He left the board, I think, because of conflicts. That was a couple of months ago. But the board is made up of the founders of OpenAI, the nonprofit, which became a for-profit company, and then some industry experts. And as part of this action by the board, Greg Brockman was stepping down, or they said will be stepping down as chairman of the board and will remain in his role as company reporting to the CEO. However, moments ago, he has quit, which would, to me, mean Sam and he are going to go start their own company. And he is quitting, you know, in protest. And that makes it super interesting, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I mean, if you're Microsoft, you know, you've put a lot of money into this company. You've put a lot behind it. You've launched, you know, just 3 days ago, they had their big conference Ignite, where they launched a bunch of new functionality that's built around OpenAI, you know, upwards of 10 different co-pilots and you know, GPT-4 offerings for their enterprise customers. This has to be, you know, incredibly kind of, I guess, worrying, right? You have the co-founders, the CEO, you know, he was, I think Greg was a president, not the CTO. I think that was the, who just took over, the woman who just took over for that. So Yeah, I'm just processing it as quickly as you are as it's coming
in. Yes. And so this would be the equivalent, I think, of Larry and Sergey being fired, or Larry being fired and Sergey quitting moments later. This is basically what we've witnessed. It's a $90 billion company. It's had tens of billions of dollars invested in it. It's first fastest company to 100 million users. And let's be honest, it's changed, it's rocked the entire industry. It's changed the entire technology landscape, and it's obviously changed the world. So then the question becomes, why? What happened and why? Well, the board did this news dump on a Friday, which is always a classic PR move to, you know, miss the news cycle, which is one of the stupidest things you could do, because all it does is make everybody point out you're dumping this on a Friday, so it doesn't get news, and it just creates twice as much news. And then the truth is, over the weekend, people have time. Yeah. And so, and it really upsets journalists who now have to go to work on a Friday night and leave their families or whatever plans they have to cancel. I remember when I was running a magazine and Gadget, and, you know, and here I am as running a podcast. It's, it does create this amount of chaos. We are live on Twitter Spaces. We're live on YouTube. We will take your questions as a programming note. But here is what OpenAI's board said. They fired Sam Altman for not being, quote, consistently candid in his communication. Now, on a housekeeping basis, we're going to do some speculation here. One thing we're not going to speculate about is any of the, you know, gnarly allegations floating around about personal conduct.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. We're not in the business of that. And, you know, we'll just leave it at that. On a business basis, consistently candid in his communications. What does that say to you, Sonny? Knowing what you know about startups and boards.
Yeah.
Consistently candid in his communications. So this is more than one, right?
Yeah.
Well, instance. This is a pattern.
This company is very complex, right? Because of, let's list out maybe some of the complexities that they've shared. And so we won't speculate. The company went from being a nonprofit to a for-profit, which there's a lot of complexity, I think, that's comes from that, that I think hasn't been very clear to a bunch of different people. The company has had a few security leaks, one earlier this year and one earlier this week. You know, the company has taken billions of dollars in funding in non-traditional ways. That means, you know, it's just, you know, typically when a company is financed, money comes in, shares come out, but some of their financing is in terms of, you know, resources, like, you know, credits or whatever it happens to be on clouds. And they have a very complex deal with Microsoft that, you know, we just know the surface of, maybe at a high level. You know, a bunch of talent that has, you know, came out of Google, a bunch of talent that left and founded other companies like Anthropic. And so it's at the center. And then there's the, you know, we've talked about this in our regular pod. There's the data that the company has used, you know, currently and in the past to train their models. So there's a lot of information. There's a lot of things that had already been out there with respect to what this company has been, you know, has had to deal with. And
which is to say, if I may summarize, when you make a startup and you're moving fast, you may break things. And sometimes you got to break some eggs to make an omelet. And so the broken eggs that could have been causing communications issues with the board, as they put it, is maybe the training data. Mm-hmm. That's a vector. That's number one. Number two, withholding information about a security breach. Or downplaying a security breach with a company like Microsoft, which is at the center of security because they have the largest footprint of desktops in the world, I believe still, by far. And we all know if you've had a Windows machine previously, phishing, viruses, there's all it's the biggest surface area, so it gets the most attacks, in fairness to them. So that's a second thing. And then the third bucket would be who owns the company, who owns shares in the company and the corporate structure. I will add a fourth thing to that, which is deal making. So what do we mean by deal making? Sam is a consummate deal maker. He has been an incredible deal maker at Y Combinator. I think he had an LP in Peter Thiel. That's what I was told. And he had made a lot of large bets doing SPVs or individual investments, special purpose vehicles in companies prior, like maybe while being at Y Combinator, maybe while being involved in OpenAI. And I mean, listen, what a great deal maker running Y Combinator, also getting Elon to put $50 million reportedly into OpenAI as a nonprofit, and other people like Reid Hoffman to join the board. So an incredible networker, incredible deal maker. Now, why is that last piece important? This is a speculation part here. I'm going to do a little bit of speculation here. In Silicon Valley, we have a term. It's called no conflict, no interest. What does it mean? Everything's conflicted here. So, you know, I might be an LP, I'm an LP as one example in 24 venture funds.
Yep.
I might invest in a company. One of the, I might be on the cap table through another venture fund in a competitor. So it's completely possible after I invest in, I don't know, company A, that their competitor company B gets invested in by one of the companies I'm an LP in. People go from one company to the other. You get the idea. And so no conflict, no interest. Well, if Sam's out there doing a ton of deals, what deals do we know he's done? I know for a fact that OpenAI gave preferential access to the API to many startups, many Y Combinator startups. So that was done. And if you had a financial interest in them and you got them early access, is that a conflict? Sure it is. Is that an awesome conflict if you have the ability to do it? Of course it is. Is it illegal or anything? Absolutely not.
Yep.
Is it unfair to the people who don't have access? Probably. But hey, life's not fair, right? You have access to a supplier. That supplier gives you that. And then my understanding is he was the backer of Humane, WorldCoin, in crypto. And then maybe
the
it was
nuclear reactor company, you know.
Sure. So which of these might have access to training data, OpenAI's tools or whatever? And then he was doing some sort of deal with Johnny Ive. Or possibly doing something with Johnny Ive to do another thing that sounded like it would compete with Humane, possibly as an AI hardware device. Listen, selling software is hard enough right now, man. It's hand-to-hand combat out there in B2B land. The last thing you need to do is slow your sales team down because you don't have your SOC 2 dialed in. So if you're SaaS or a services company and you store consumer data in the cloud, you know what you need to do? You need to check out Vanta. They're going to get your SOC 2 compliant easier and faster. And Vanta makes it so easy to get and renew your SOC 2. On average, Vanta customers are SOC 2 compliant in just 2 to 4 weeks. Compare that to 3 to 5 months without Vanta. They're going to save you hundreds of hours of work and up to 85% on compliance costs. And Vanta does more than just SOC 2. They also automate up to 90% compliance for GDPR, HIPAA, and more. You can't afford to lose out on those major customers, the lighthouse customers, the big fish, the whales, because of silly stuff like lacking compliance. Just work with Vanta. I'm an investor in the company. It's a great company. Get your compliance automated. Get it tight. Tight is right. And close those big deals. Here's the best part. Vanta's going to give you 1,000 off because they love This Week in Startups. They love startups. Vanta.com/twist. That's VANTA.com/twist to get $1,000 off your SOC 2. I'm going to go with that last bucket first. What are your thoughts handicapping this, that this had to do with his, you know, extraordinary deal making, and then maybe this comment he made where he does not own any shares. Remember, he was in front of Congress. He doesn't own any shares in OpenAI. How does the CEO and founder not own any shares? Sachs speculated it on All In. We had a discussion about that. And Humane's launch just happened. And, you know, I think that might have been a little screwed up by this Johnny Ive news. So here we are. No conflict, no interest. Sonny, go.
Well, look, when you've created the technology that's been the most impactful since the launch of the iPhone App Store and the momentum it's working with, it's inevitable, to your point, that these conflicts are there. And it's probably almost impossible to disclose them at a pace to keep the board active. I'd like to add one other thing. The board of this company is a little bit non-traditional because it doesn't have, you know, what we would call like typical board members that are, you know, venture investors or board members of public companies. It's a little, you know, Adam is there and he obviously runs Quora, but like the other folks are related, either work for the company or, and some external folks. And so I do think The ability for conflict to arise is really, really high with this, with OpenAI, but it may not be malicious. It just may be at the pace of everything that's happening. You got to put yourself in Shyam shoes and think about how many inbounds you get on every single day. You know, there's 5,000 AI companies, right? And they all want to, you know, get access to OpenAI or do a partnership or get funding from OpenAI. You know, OpenAI has funded companies as well. So there's so much that could be happening here that it's, you know, not on purpose, but just maybe even just hard to keep up with the disclosures.
Could be. And it could be the board had, you know, based on their phrasing here, you know, a frustrating time with the second, third, or fourth time this happened. Maybe. And then there was this allegation like, oh, maybe he lied to Congress when he said he didn't own any shares.
Yeah.
Like you could say, and I'm going to do massive amount of speculation here. Sam could say, I don't own any shares. Sam Altman, I, Jason Calacanis, don't own any shares. But a foundation controlled by Sam, or a fund controlled by Sam that invested or bought secondary shares from other workers, whatever it was, could own an interest in OpenAI. And so I, Sam, don't own any shares, but my foundation does, right? So it's possible. I've seen people, you know, use the technicalities of language to kind of justify things. I'm not saying that's the case here, but there's always been this very weird dynamic of he doesn't own anything in OpenAI and he's doing all these deals. And how does he not own anything if everybody else does? And then remember, it was only how many weeks ago that there was this breaking news about a secondary at $90 billion.
Yeah.
That was the week before the OpenAI demo day, I believe.
Yeah. Well, I just want to maybe say something on the other side, then we can dive deeper into it. I think in the Congress statement, if we can pull it up, but if I recall, he did say, I've done well in other places. And, you know, like you mentioned, he's been involved in some of these record-breaking funds that have had, you know, hundreds of X return. And so it is, you know, potentially feasible that, like, that, you know, that he does not have it in any kind of related entity or entity that's pushed off, but just, you know, he decided to give it all away as a donation to, you know, Stanford or, I'm saying Stanford because he went there, right? But like, you know, some place that he's very passionate about. It's possible, right? Now, I think.
Yeah, sure.
I think when it comes to, you know, thinking about like companies on the cap table, this company is not that big, Jason, right? So, and it's pretty straightforward for, you know, either the board or the general counsel of the company or the outside counsel to understand every single entity on the cap table. And then to come back and maybe ask, like, you know, if you know, sometimes people do have family trusts and whatnot and hold things in those places. But so if someone makes a comment like that in a, you know, in front of Congress, I'm sure, you know, your lawyers would come back to you and say, hey, we know, you know, ABC. Be careful. Yeah.
Well, this is, again, super speculation here. You know, maybe he said that in good faith. And then somebody said, hey, you know, not exactly accurate. And the press picked up on that. That became a big discussion topic. So maybe that was one of the things the board said with communication. And maybe there are other issues like that. And so then we go to the security one. So maybe you could unpack the speculation about security because the GPTs got launched. And then I remember seeing this headline that Microsoft took everybody at Microsoft, all their developers, off of OpenAI.
Yeah. Well, let's maybe rewind back. So they had an incident, I would say, you know, maybe March this year, where people's information was getting leaked. And so, you know, that's, and look, they're growing fast, right? So it's, you know, kind of, I guess you have to sort of expect it at the scale they're operating at. And then what sort of happened at the launch of the GPTs was people were able to go and look at the private information that folks were putting into the GPT to help, you know, build them. Like, you know, we did one as well. And so I think given how fast it was moving, how many GPTs were being created, it was probably a proactive move by Microsoft to say, hey, let's not allow our employees to rush into that ecosystem, fill it up with perhaps confidential documents and confidential, you know, text and other, you know, pictures, whatever it happens to be that you want to use to create a GPT. and not put it in there, because I think the experience, as we did, you know, on the last pod, is incredible, and you could do something quite quickly and push it out there and have people start using it. But I think the security edges of it were still, you know, being kind of finalized and or hardened.
Mm.
Like we took the launch text and put it in there, and we took it from the public website. But you might not have been as comfortable if we were taking private, you know, placement documents or something like that. Yeah.
All right. So Microsoft put $10 billion into this company. They don't own a board seat. That is absolutely bonkers, but they do own 49% of the company. So that's insane. So this is also kind of a governance problem here. Who is on the board? Well, you had Greg, you had Sam, they're both off the board. And then I think everybody else was independent. Yeah. Oh, Ilya. He's the chief scientist and co-founder. So that's, and then you had a couple of independent directors, Cora CEO, Adam D'Angelo, a technology entrepreneur, Tasha McCauley, and Georgetown Center for Security Emerging Technology, Helen Toner. So the independent directors would have had to do this, right? Because you would have to leave Sam out of this if it had to do with Sam.
Yep.
So then you have the five of them. You need to have three to have a majority to do this. And Greg would, I guess, vote in favor of Sam because he just quit. And you would think that Ilya would as well. So that would be two. And then that means all three of the other ones had to vote to remove Sam if it was, in fact, a five-person vote. And now, of course, CEO Adam went to YC. I would think he would be very loyal to Sam. I don't know the relationship of these other two folks and you know how they wound up on the board. But that is also an interesting rub here, is getting rid of Sam is an incredibly polarizing, as we've seen just in a couple of hours. The whole internet's like, this is not cool. I love Sam. He's very popular. And he was just on demo day. So that's the thing I'm having this hard
even closer to that. Yesterday he was at the APEC conference, right?
He was at APEC representing OpenAI. Well, I didn't realize that. At events,
At events.
So this is probably all happening in real time.
Yeah.
Wow. So I wonder if this goes back to the OpenAI day, because that was so let's talk about Microsoft. Satya Nadella showed up, right?
Oh, yeah.
He was on stage, and that was a little bit of an awkward interaction, I think. I wonder, something there.
Well, no, the interaction was good, because what Sam did call out was, hey, people are, and he had a tweet about it, people are speculating about the relationship between Microsoft and OpenAI. And he used that moment to solidify that the relationship is stronger than ever. Fast forward to this week, Microsoft has Ignite, and they launch upwards of 10 new products kind of built on OpenAI. So I feel like they had just squashed all the rumors that were out there about the potential tension between the two companies.
There was also a tweet where Sam said, we're not like sandbagging any of their software products with ChatGPT. But this also is, I think, the collision course that the two firms are on. Microsoft wants to build a Copilot into the desktop of Windows.
Yep.
ChatGPT is an amazing app, and it's $20 a month. And so Microsoft has all the data we're going to use on our desktop. And then you have OpenAI with this app that has 100 million users, some many millions of them, I believe, paying $20 a month.
Yeah, 100 million weekly. I think they said at
100 OpenAI million weekly users. I wonder how many are paid. I'm going to go with 3%. So maybe I would say 1 or 2 million people are paying. Or 2 million people are paying $20, 2 million people, $20 a month, 400. It's $500 million. And then maybe $500 million in API calls. So then the next speculation is this financial? Is this financial? But before we get to that, there's a collision course, isn't there? Microsoft wants consumers and business users to use this. And ChatGPT and OpenAI are selling the same thing.
Yeah.
So how does that work in your mind? Who wins? If it's built into the desktop, how does OpenAI compete? Or if OpenAI has a superior app and everybody gets used to using it there, why does Microsoft own 49% of this? Whoa. It's like Mac, and it would be as if Microsoft owned 49% of the Mac OS or something, or the iPhone. It's so conflicted, right?
Let me give you a possible way, and I'd love your take on it. I think if you look at OpenAI in two distinct ways, let's look at OpenAI as an API. Mm-hmm. And an API for product-led growth. So, you know, for Silicon Valley Plus, or not Silicon Valley, anybody, any entrepreneur who's out there that wants to build, they can go get the API and build something around it, right? They can add a feature to their product, or they can basically make a product from the ground up using OpenAI. And, you know, we've demoed a bunch of these type of things, right? Things that are standalone, things that are features. And then I think, and that's like the product-led growth of it. That's, you know, what I would say is if you look back to the era of cloud, there were businesses that were built cloud native. And then there were other businesses that just lifted and shifted to the cloud. And so the way I've been kind of thinking about it is Microsoft picks up the business that is like enterprise, more enterprisey. That's like, hey, you want to put this into your product. You're a customer of ours already. But anybody that is trying to do something product-led, they go through the OpenAI path with the OpenAI APIs. So I feel like it was, you know, even though it's you can kind of see a conflict there, but they have two different competencies, right? Where Microsoft really owns the enterprise and all, you know, CIO, CTO types, and OpenAI owns the startup ecosystem and products. That's one way to think about it.
Yeah, there's so much consumer going on at Microsoft that's not appreciated by people like us who are in Silicon Valley because we're all Mac heads.
Yeah.
And you never see a Windows laptop here, but then everybody's using Windows. Yeah. And you look at your Google Analytics, you see just how many people actually use Windows and also Xbox, you know, and other products they have.
I'm leaving
the Zune and the Surface out of that.
Yeah, but that's one where you can see tremendous conflict because Microsoft lost the search war. Search is fundamentally changing and, you know, they want to win, and they went out of their way to eliminate Bing from the branding this past week and relaunch the product just as Copilot, right? Windows Copilot. And so that's an area where you can imagine there could be, you know, some substantial conflict between the businesses, you know, going directly after the consumers.
All right. Microsoft, according to reports, found out about this 1 minute before OpenAI published their statement. This must have been, if the board took this action, how many days have they been dealing with this issue before taking this action, would you say, in your professional experience running companies?
Yeah. Well, like, think about, let's go to a company you were close with a bit, Uber, right? When they, you know, they had to deal with like some issues.
There were some issues, yes.
Yeah.
and issues.
Yeah. It was a multi-month process that involved
close to a year. Yeah.
Yeah. That involved external firms, that involved, you know, external counsel. And even they brought in some external people, I think, right? That weren't even board members, right? I recall. And so it's really incredible to think about how quickly that this has happened outside of it being like something that's so black and white, that's like, you know, criminal or something like that, like something that's not subjective. It's the only way you can think about it moving so quickly.
I don't think this could be criminal because they said it was an issue with communicating with the board.
Yeah.
And so that's somewhere between like an ethics or an honesty problem.
Okay.
But maybe they're trying to protect themselves from future lawsuits. So the board has to say something in some ways a bit neutral, because if they were to say, we fired this person for doing X, Y, and Z bad things, then all of a sudden the lawsuits come out and they're like, well, the board is in charge and they said this person did it. Yep. So that's why a lot of times it's the services were no longer needed. We decided to part ways. They want to spend more time with their family. And then all the craziness comes out. By the way, in 72 hours, I guarantee you we'll have all the details of this. Everything will leak. We'll know exactly what's going on. if you've ever had to hire developers, you know it is a giant headache. Are they built for the startup grind? How do you know? If you hire the wrong developer, man, maybe they're going to drag your whole team down. Maybe they take you down some rabbit hole and you don't know what's going on. And then not only are you back to square one, you might be behind the eight ball, right? But if you hire the right developer, that could be a game changer. Let me introduce you to Lemon Hire. It's a platform that helps you find qualified senior developers who want to join your team. Lemon Hire pre-selects vets and matches tech candidates with high growth startups so founders can focus on building their vision. Here's why you can trust Lemon Hire. They got 80,000 pre-vetted engineers, and you can interview any of them within 48 hours notice. You pay nothing until you started onboarding. Lemon Hire is going to replace any of your hires for free in the first 30 days. So just go to lemon.io/hire, H-I-R-E, to get a special offer just for Twist listeners, $2,000 off your first hire. That's right, $2,000 off at lemon.io/hire, lemon.io/hire. Hire with confidence at lemon.io/hire. Just to hold people over, we're walking through what could have happened here. And listen, Microsoft didn't know it. What do you think of this other theory that they're just blowing through money at an alarming pace? This was another concept. Hey, they keep lowering the API costs. They're burning through tons of money. He yeah. said recently they're going to need to raise tens of billions more yeah. and that maybe they were having cash flow problems. And because there was an email that went out that said you have to pay for your API calls ahead of time.
Yeah, I think that wasn't real. I didn't okay. get that email. So
they said it was going out to select people. So I'm wondering okay. if it was going out to people who were spending $5,000 a day on the API or, you know, $100,000 okay. a month. And they said, hey, okay. you got to pay in advance, maybe because they thought they would get stiffed, or maybe they thought,
yeah,
maybe cash flow mm-hmm. problems. I can't imagine they would have cash flow problems. It's only a couple of hundred people, right, at the company. So, yeah. and $10 billion raised.
Yeah. And even if you had that, you don't publicly fire your CEO. That's, you know, in this kind of manner, right? Like, I think there's usually, again, all these things have a process mm. behind them. You know, look, you've dealt with a lot.
Sure.
A lot less, right? And so, I guess the email is real. I just got a text from my co-founder saying we got that email. So it is real.
Oh, we did get it. Okay. Yeah, so yeah. Let's speculate anew then.
Yeah.
Under what circumstances a company tell everybody using its API they need to fill up their credits in advance? That's yeah. kind of standard, isn't it? Like, don't you buy Zapier credits or some credits in advance? But I guess for yeah. AWS, they have your credit card and they just bill you at the yeah. end of the month. So yeah. both of these things can be true, right? Both yeah. models exist.
Yeah. I guess, you know, like that's not so crazy. I mean, to put that out today is a bit crazy, but, you know, a lot more weird stuff is happening right now. So that's kind of really interesting to think about.
Yeah. All right. There was also a unverified anonymous Reddit comment. Again, unverified. Could be fan fiction, but it's interesting. Somebody claiming to be from OpenAI is saying, I feel compelled as someone close to the situation to share additional context about Sam and the company. Engineers raise concerns about rushing tech to market without adequate safety reviews in the race to capitalize on ChatGPT hype. But Sam charged ahead. That's just who he is. Wouldn't listen to us. That's kind of on brand. Not the wouldn't listen to, but charging ahead. He does believe in speed. He's said that very yeah. publicly when he was running YC. And he's right. Startups go fast. His focus increasingly seemed to be fame and fortune, not upholding our principles as a responsible nonprofit. I've heard that. I think that's a lot of jealousy, too. You know, it's very rare for somebody to get catapulted to this level of notoriety on a global basis and to be meeting with heads of state, etc. He made unilateral business decisions aimed at profits that diverged from our mission. When he proposed the ChatGPT store and revenue sharing across the line, this signaled our core values were at risk. So the board made the tough decision to remove my CEO. Greg also faced some accountability and stepped down. That doesn't make much sense. I think this is what the kids say. I think this is cap. I'm going to go with this. This is cap.
You're not supposed to say that, but yeah.
I mean, facts are cap. All right.
I'll bring up something like, so impact to the company. I want your take on this. Founder led to not founder led. And we've seen that many times in Silicon Valley. What's your take?
Oh, this is a great, great point. I would say that losing the founders is obviously disastrous. The lead that ChatGPT has is not de minimis. So you have to hold these two contradictory thoughts in your head. Sam was not writing code. I wonder, I don't know if Greg's writing code or not.
Oh, he was. He was. Greg was writing code all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. So Greg's
just on one thing, Jekyll, he was posting about a bug fix like 2 days ago.
Yes. Like, okay. So back, like, this is where, is where you have to like pause for a second and think it through. So if I was on the board, I'd be like, who's writing the code? Who's the figurehead? Sam's the figurehead. Sam's cutting deals. Do we need any more deals? Doesn't sound like we need many more deals. We got Microsoft. We got $10 billion. You know, there's tons of interest in this company. We got $1 billion in revenue. They must be close to profitable with $1 billion in revenue. I would think they're close to profitable. I don't know what they're spending on servers, et cetera. But putting capital expense out of this with 300 people and $1 billion in revenue, you know, it's $3 million per person. Now, I know they're spending millions of dollars per developer, upwards of $10 billion, I heard, with stock options, et cetera. So, yeah, this to me sounds like Greg. There's the, Greg fixing a bug. So Greg is a big loss. Sam would be a gigantic loss 2 years ago. But today, with everything set up, the way he organized it, probably he's got so many deals done, it probably won't affect the company in the short to midterm. In the long term, sure. What are the next three deals? You need his strategy. You need his, you know, networking to do deals.
Master negotiator. You know, this deal that they have. Well, I mean, I think we're going to find out more about the deal with Microsoft, but that deal, in many ways, like either it's the greatest deal ever, the worst deal ever. But my feeling, if I would bet, is the greatest deal ever. Like,
My God, they took. You can tell it's a great deal because when you first hear it, you're like, oh my God, they made Microsoft look foolish. Then you look at Microsoft stock price, and I'll ask my producers to tell me what Microsoft stock price went up. You know, since they announced the $10 billion investment, I'm guessing it's gone up $100 billion. Cloud computing has revolutionized startups over the past decade. We all know that. But reality is a fully cloud-based solution is not right for every startup. Sometimes you need a hybrid solution. Like, let's say you're working with sensitive data that you just can't put in some random cloud, right? Or maybe you need to connect multiple cloud providers at once. Or maybe you just want a more cost-efficient solution, right? Because sometimes these cloud bills can get crazy. If that's the case, you need to check out Equinix. Equinix Metal will give you direct access to physical servers, but you still get the benefits of the cloud. So there's no need to rack your own servers. Equinix provides on-demand infrastructure in over 25 major cities. And here's the best part. They have an amazing startup program. The Equinix Startup Program offers personalized consultations, guidance from the Equinix team, and wait for it, $100,000 in credits. That's not a typo. So here's what I want you to do. Go to equinixstartups.com to apply. And when you apply, James from Equinix will reach out to you directly. That's how serious they take the startup community. That's EQUINIX startups.com. EQUINIX startups.com. Equinixstartups.com. Get a call from James. All right. We have a question from YouTube. I think it's AGI, Jason, and Microsoft wants that announced, and he disagrees. Whoever announced AGI first rules the world, and your share price goes to the roof.
I said it differently. I said, if AGI took over, this would be the first thing it did.
Microsoft gets 75% of OpenAI profits until it makes back its $10 billion investment. I forgot about that. Remember that condition?
Yep.
This is a master negotiation. He got the valuation he wanted. He wanted an absurd, sky-high valuation. He got it. He got the $10 billion. And then he just said, yeah, make your money back, but you can only make 100 times your money. I mean, he's a master negotiator. And so, yeah, losing him, just to wrap on that thought. I don't think this is AGI, but that's another interesting point. Could they have discovered something and hid it from the board? That's like some crazy science fiction movie. There are things that are happening in the safety zone that they didn't disclose to the board I love that speculation. It makes for a great movie, but it doesn't make, I don't think we're close to AGI. So I don't think this is, I don't think we've achieved general intelligence.
And again, if you had, if that had happened, let's just double click into it for completeness. You wouldn't fire the people right away, right? You'd want them around.
The opposite.
Like
quite the opposite.
You'd kind of lock them down a little bit. You wouldn't be like, oh, you're fired. You know?
Yeah. I'm going to stick with my original thought that there are some conflict of interests. Now that we've walked through all the possibilities, I'm going to stick with conflicts of interests is my 80% concept here. There are some conflict of interest that the board got tweaked about, and there were multiple ones, no conflict, no interest, that maybe, you know, including his shares in the company, that caused this. When you go through all this, for you, what's the most likely scenario? Security, conflicts of interest,
issues? I'm in conflict of interest. Personal issues is I conflict of interest. I think.
Okay, if we take personal issues off the table.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons, we would never want to speculate about anything like that. That makes the most sense to me.
And like, you know, we already touched on it. OpenAI is investing in companies. These guys are investing in companies. They're trying to start new companies. It's every, you know, as an investor, it's a bit of a nightmare, right? Because you're kind of sitting there looking at all things happening. And it's the pace is so quick. Like, think about, you know, how much has happened with this thing is just approaching 12 months. So, you know, probably anywhere from 25 to 100 companies that they're involved in and you know, partnered with.
I'm going to go 80%. I'm going to go 70% chance conflict of interest. I'm going to go 20% chance of a security breach, cover up, weird situation that occurred. 10%, something I can't think of.
Yeah.
I'm going with that. And again, taking aside any personal stuff.
Can we bring someone on up from the
audience? Yes, you have a specific person you want to bring up?
The first person on my list, Jared, who's the VP of AI at Vercel, would love to hear what they're saying.
So Jared's coming up. Oh, what a great question. What do you think? You're really well aware of the ecosystem, Sandeep.
Look, I think one of the things, just building on what we just said about, you know, Sam and team, they were able to push the boundaries really, really far, right? Because when you have already had success, plus you've seen a ton of success, you're able to, you know, push. And I think that's one of the reasons OpenAI is where it is. I think now what we're going to see is a chance for maybe some of the other folks to catch up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that is good from a competitive standpoint, but by in terms of pushing the frontier, like that whole AGI conversation we had, we probably slow down there a bit. So we initially see a catch up of other players while all this, you know, dust has to settle at.
And OpenAI. Just to repeat the question for the YouTube audience and for the This Week in Startups episode.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I didn't know it's going across.
The question was, how would this affect the ecosystem and the march towards artificial general intelligence? I agree with you. I think this gives, you know, whatever their lead is, you give the lead, OpenAI's lead, 18 months, 12 months is what most people would say, I think. So let's just put it at, they have a 1 year lead. If they have a 1 year lead, I'll give them 18 months, actually. If they have an 18 months lead, this is going to cut it in half. They're going to have a 9 month lead. So everybody else gets to catch up. Right now, they're literally popping champagne corks at Google. And then I'll give you the second order impact. You know, Sam and Greg are going to go raise, they're going to announce a $10 billion raise from a sovereign wealth fund tomorrow, like within 48 hours. I think on Monday, if you're firing him, I don't know what no compete he has or if he agreed to some sort of non-compete with a nonprofit or if he has an employment agreement. If he's not getting equity, how does he have an employment agreement? So this is where weird governance or weird corporate structures can actually cause real issues. I.e. Sam Bankman-Fried. Now, this is not fraud, but you had no board there. Or Elizabeth Holmes had a bunch of like 80-year-old former generals that know nothing about blood and chemistry and biology. So this is what bad governance does. And so even good governance can cause tons of problems. In terms of the race toward artificial general intelligence, it's going to happen, folks. It's just a matter if it's 3, 5, 7, or 10 years. You know, it's going to be one of those numbers. Anything else to add to that, Sunny, or should we let another person speak?
Yeah, let's go to the next one.
Okay. multi-part question. Jared says, first up, Sunny, he believes it's a commercial interest kind of conflict, like we do. Number two, he's wondering, with Greg leaving, what happens to the engineering team? Do they start bolting? What are their non-competes deals look like? Now, remember, again, this is a California company. They put their office in San Francisco. There's no non-competes in this, you know. I mean, New York State and some of the Northeast, I think Massachusetts, Boston, obviously, these got non-competes up there. One of the reasons people speculate that the West has done better than the East Coast on technology is the non-compete issue. So what do you think? Is this going to be a bunch of people leaving OpenAI?
Well, so in terms of the engineers, let's go to that one first. Recall last week, and I don't know if we touched on it, but like we definitely had it in the docket. There was an article saying that these folks were being offered upwards of $10 million. And so I think what's happened is, you know, the war for talent for AI researchers is really, really heavy. And so depending on what happens next, that's what will impact the engineers. It does feel like the folks have been moving around in like groups, like the folks that went over to Anthropic, the folks that went over to XAI. And so it is feasible, if I were to bet, that if folks aren't happy with whatever direction the company's going in and they haven't been able to properly participate in whatever monetization like structure exists from the cap table because of, you know, all the wonkiness that's created, that, you know, I think one of the things Elon said very clearly about why creating XAI was in order to have the ability to recruit people to offer them equity that could grow. Sure. So that could be something for a bunch of folks.
Now, was Greg passed up for CEO? Is that why he quit? He didn't get the CEO slot. I wonder. Yeah. Let's take another question. I'm just speculating here. Let's take another question from our amazing audience. Carried interest. Okay, an anonymous account. So great comment. The speaker was saying, hey, I've never seen this kind of dramatic firing. Dramatic firing equals personal misbehavior, misadventures, you know, gnarly, inappropriate stuff. And so maybe we're glossing over all that. I gave three disclaimers during this. I don't want to talk about that kind of stuff. If that's in fact what happened, we'll find out in due time, and that'll make this really easy to understand. But yeah, sure, it goes without saying that's a possibility. So I think it's kind of moot. And what's the point of speculating about something as egregious and ugly as that when we have no information? Speculating about the business stuff and the downstream impacts, I think that is, you know, very valid for us to discuss here on This Week in Startups. Okay, next person.
All right, we have Travis.
Okay, so the question and the comment was, I wonder if this was an international espionage security breach that occurred, and then that is why that's like such a heavy thing that this happened so swiftly. I think it's a pretty, Travis asked us that question. What do you think? I mean, it's like we were saying earlier, hitting AGI, it's a more fantastical concept here, but you know, sometimes something weird and fantastical, that those things do happen, right? I mean, how many conspiracy theories, you know, like yesterday's conspiracy theories become tomorrow's Pulitzer Prizes, right? There was a conspiracy theory that the church was covering up for sexual misconduct by priests, and then all of a sudden, boom, it was a Pulitzer for, you know, I don't think that's the case here, obviously, but, you know, what do you think? Is that a possibility, this foreign espionage? I mean, you got to think there are actors who really would love to have the code base and data and everything.
Well, when it came to, just to, you know, maybe talk through that, the U.S. government probably is you know, happy with Sam, right? He's been the one in amongst a bunch of other people talking about regulation, right? And we had Bill Gurley on with us a couple of weeks ago and talking about regulation. So I don't think it would be U.S. government, but maybe some other governments are not happy with what's happening with regulation and sharing of technology. So that's possible. We could put it on the bingo card. Like, I guess we have to create one of those now and see where this lands.
Absolutely. All right. 2,000 people watching on YouTube, 5,700 people on our Twitter / X spaces. Yeah, apologies, Elon. Apologies, Elon. It's going to take even, it's going to even take me a while to not say Twitter after 20 years of being on Twitter. On our X spaces. Let's take another call. Another call. Keep it. Can we get a tight question? Tight question so we can take two more. Okay. So this happened fast. Greg was stripped of his chairman title. Microsoft didn't know. That's a lot to happen in a short period of time there. And then who wins? Sunny, who wins? Who does this help most? Google?
In the shortest term, Google, I think. Right. And next, Microsoft. Honestly, because
why does Microsoft benefit from the leadership change here? Because they have more control.
I think going back to that point, we were talking about master negotiator, like, you know, if who would you want to sit across from the table, Sam or someone else now, in terms of, hey, this has all happened, the funding requirements, the resource requirements, and how you can basically, you know, strike a better deal for yourself or maybe even buy the company.
Wow. Well, that's mind-blowing. So Microsoft now here comes a conspiracy theory. So if this is a coup of some types, let's say Sam tripped, people then stab him in the back, you know, he makes a mistake of some kind, let's say the security mistake, a conflict of interest mistake, whatever. It's something that's not like unforgivable, but maybe some people are like, hey, we got to come for the king, but we best not miss. And then Microsoft's like, oh, power vacuum. Maybe it's time for us to buy all this up. And then, the nonprofit will get a bunch of money and they can give it and kumbaya, save the whales. Pretty interesting concept. Yeah. So that's an interesting point. Yeah. Microsoft couldn't buy, had a hard time buying a video game maker. How do they get this through regulators? That's a really astute point. And I think the way to get it through is to just get the code base, get the weights, get the talent, and then you don't have to buy the company. You just sucked up
buy
all the
talent.
Buy it without buying it. For those listening on the YouTube, caller says, hey, when you sign up for Enterprise on OpenAI, it gives you a choice to go to Azure with Microsoft or to do OpenAI. OpenAI tries to steer that to get you on the newer models. But maybe the way Microsoft takes this all over and, you know, does the second act of this coup, and this is a coup of types, or it's either going to fall into the category of a coup or it's going to fall into the category of, you know, a fall from grace kind of situation. If it is a coup, they have that possibility to just take over the enterprise business as part of their negotiation with OpenAI to give them the next slug of capital, give them access to these servers. So, man, this is one of the most dynamic situations I've ever seen in my career. We'll do another emergency pod.
A quick
breaking news.
Breaking news. Yeah. So, Boop. Kara Swisher. Kara Swisher.
God, she hates me. I used to be friends with her. Now she hates me. I don't know.
I know, but we got to bring it up because
what did she say?
Like, it's a scoop. A lot more departures of top folks at OpenAI tonight, and Sam will make a statement. But as she understands, it was a misalignment of the profit versus nonprofit adherence at the company. Developer Day was an issue. Yeah, and sources tell me the profit direction of the company under Altman and the speed of development, which could be too risky. So this kind of lined up with that Hacker News
Post. The Reddit, both of them were kind of in that zone. So moving fast and breaking things, I guess, is going to be the speculation for a lot of folks. And then, which is also, we said, was this corporate structure is rife with conflict. So that was our position from the beginning. Conflicts of interest.
And if you go to the board member thing and you go like, look, maybe just all the non-employee board members, non-profit board members say, hey, what's going on here? This doesn't seem very non-profit-y, right?
Well, and here's the thing. You could all get pinched. And this is where having these kind of crazy board structures, you bring some people onto the board to be independent directors. They start getting counsel. You got lawyers. One set of lawyers says in one ear, you know, we're the original lawyers and Sam wanted to do this. And, it, you know, now Sam's not in the room. Yeah, it was a little aggressive. There are these things we warned him about, but he wanted to go forward anyway. And, you know, our advice was maybe a little more research, but Sam went for it. And then somebody else in the other ear says, hey, if Sam went for it and it's and you guys get pinched, you're all going to jail or you're all going to, you know, this could pierce the veil or you guys could be involved in lawsuits forever, even if it doesn't pierce the corporate veil. You know, the IRS is a humorless group of career individuals, and the government does not like when people don't pay their taxes. I know this is a newsflash to many people listening here on the live stream and the pod. You really don't want to play games with giving the government their fair share. And if everybody's selling in secondary you know, the secondary thing comes to mind here. Okay, we're going fast and loose. Maybe we interpreted the law. Remember Elon said, I have a lot of questions about this. Like, how does this work? And if, I think Elon said, like, if everybody could build a nonprofit, do a for-profit, make a bunch of money, and then not pay taxes, like, maybe we should all be moving towards this. And, you know, I kind of looked at that too. I didn't ask lawyers, but I was asking folks like who want to be B corporations and all this nonsense, silliness, kumbaya, save the whales nonsense. Like if you're going to build a company, just be a moronic capitalist, then give your money away when you sell your shares. You don't need to kind of pollute the waters of capitalism with nonprofits and make some weird Frankenstein corporate structure. And they made a Frankenstein corporate structure, just like Firefox had a Frankenstein corporate structure. And that led to, I can tell you, I would guess tens of millions in legal bills over the last decade to just navigate the fact that Firefox was a nonprofit that was throwing off hundreds of millions of dollars in search revenue from their search deal with Google. So there is some history here. And yeah, that would, the there's a lot of going back to this decision and who made that decision. And that decision could get you pinched. And then if people can get pinched, you know what they do? They flip. Self-preservation is a very powerful instinct.
Yeah. I mean, the you know, kind of, I think it was our top one. It's just like something in this area of structure and conflict. And, you know, it's like seemingly like, and you said it, 72 hours, we're going to know everything that's happened. Like, look, we might even get it before then.
All right. We got to redo our percentages. Security breach, conflict of interest with Sam's deal making, the nonprofit for-profit structure, other. Take a moment. I'm going to give 10% to security breach, 10% to other. I'll go 50-50 on the rest, so 40-40. I got 40% the original sin of the nonprofit for-profit Franken structure.
Yeah.
The Frank. I'm going to go 50% Franken structure, 30% conflicts in deal making, 10% other, 10% security breach. What do you got, Sonny?
I'm gonna take a page out of Elon's book. Does he always pull up Occam's razor, right?
Sure.
The most obvious answer is, and so I'm gonna go 90%. You know, corporate structure, profit, nonprofit,
Franken structure,
and 5% conflict of interest, and put everything else in 5%.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Time is going to tell. Thank you to everybody who came on the spaces. Give me a thumbs up if you like this. Maybe we'll do more of these. Apparently, a large number of people did seem to like it. So thank you for the thumbs up, everybody.
Yeah. Sorry we couldn't get everyone up as a speaker.
Yeah, but I think this was fun.
There's a lot of people to choose from. The UI needs to do something that helps you filter it somehow.
I would like to do is, you know, when it has requests, if I go to the request tab, I'm going to talk to Elon about this. On the request tabs, when you get too many requests, I know that sounds obnoxious. I'm going to talk to Sandeep. Everybody has friends. I mean, that's not a good deal. The note should be who are the most followed of the group. It should list the most followed people first. I think what it does is it lists the verified and then it lists everybody else. I would list it verified, most followed, then unverified, most followed. That would be easier to figure out who's got the most followers as just one, but one proxy for maybe they'll have I would also like people to be able to type in their question when they request to speak. So that would be a very interesting, you request to speak and say, what topic do you want to talk about? Or put your question here.
Do an emoji. You should be able to like have a thing that's a little text box thing that shows this person's typed their question.
Because then I could either read the question or I could have you come up and ask it, but that would be like a good pre-screen. Like a pre-screening thing on the radio. All right.
Yeah.
This has been an amazing emergency episode of This Week in Startups. You can search your podcast player for This Week in Startups and subscribe. I do it 4 days a week. Every Monday, Sandeep and I do AI Demo Day. Monday equals AI Demo Day. Sandeep looks all week at all of the different AI things that have been released. He then presents them to me. We then give them a letter grade, and we try to learn every Monday the latest and greatest.
And sometimes you even invest.
And sometimes I find a company and I just, you know, I get a little tasty poo. I get a slice. Sandeep's company is Definitive Intelligence. If you're doing large scale AI stuff, you can reach out to him. He's at Sandeep, First Name Club on on X, formerly known as Twitter. I am at Jason, and we'll see you all next time on This Week in Startups Live.